Overdose deaths have spiked during the COVID-19 pandemic, in part because supply chain problems have led to more contaminated drugs. Cocaine or heroin might be laced with synthetic opioid fentanyl or mixed versions of animal tranquilizers. The pandemic has also made it harder for many people to access drug use treatment or services like fentanyl test strips and overdose refusal drug naloxone. Also, people lose their jobs or homes or health insurance. It also has taken a psychological toll. There's also been a recent uptick in the number of overdose deaths that involve more than one kind of drug. Successful Fortune 500 CEO and family man who had a hidden secret being alcoholism. It became so severe that it landed him in jail with 3 DUI arrests in as many months and drove him close to suicide. Committed to a psychiatric hospital, followed by a 3-month stay at Arizona Rehab Center that specializes in treating professionals in the healthcare industry, began the turnaround for him. The results are the award-winning book, Through a Sober Lens, that features both his photography and inspiration on how to overcome alcoholism with advice for others. Joining us now here on KODY is Michael Blanchard, and we appreciate the time, Michael.
Well, I appreciate you talking about this. You guys have choices on what you air on the radio, and to talk about this is really important right now.
Michael, could you give us a little bit of background on yourself before we dive into it in full force, please?
Sure. I was a chief operating officer of a company, and I went down hard with the disease of addiction. I was a raging alcoholic who ended up getting arrested 3 times, unfortunately, but it ended up being my saving grace. I also used Xanax and took Xanax tablets that I ordered over the internet, had no idea what they had, what they contained, and I was just fortunate that that worked out okay. And then when I came out the other side, I turned into a photographer and a writer. And I started telling my story on social media with hopes that it would help people come out of the closet and, you know, garner resources to help people with addiction. And it's been the most amazing thing I could ever imagine. So sometimes you have to go down before you discover who you really are.
Michael, it's very concerning now as the reports continue to come in that overdose deaths continue to climb here throughout our great nation.
Yeah, as of April 2021, for the first time in our history, we exceeded 100,000 deaths in the previous 12 months. And over that same time period, we had 500,000 deaths with COVID. And we do around 600,000 deaths a year due to heart disease. And so I'm sad to report that addiction is becoming one of the top causes of death in the U.S. And, you know, we really need to get our arms around this. Most of the deaths were caused by substitute substances like in heroin and other medications. Fentanyl, which I think we've all heard about, has a big suppressive effect on the respiratory system. 65% of the 100,000 deaths were due to fentanyl. And now they're starting to mix in animal anesthetics. Xylazine is used for animals in the veterinary realm, but it also causes heart block in people, and you can die of a heart attack from that. So it seems like with the supply shortages, the drug dealers are in the same place as everybody else. With a shortage of supplies, they're mixing other things in to be able to keep the product flowing, and it's not good.
Very concerning.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's so big of a subject that it's hard to get your arms around it. And I hope on, you know, radio interviews like this that you can distill it down and you know, try to get to the people that that you can manage. I mean, I went to an event the other day where they scrolled the faces of the people in Massachusetts who had died of overdose deaths the previous year. And they were like my son, my daughter, probably yours, 20s, 30s. You know, we kind of marginalize it by imagining that people who die of overdoses are, you know, it's a lower class or criminal or something like that. And when you see the faces of the people that have left us, it really is a compelling situation to, you know, really kind of garner the resources to help get our arms around this.
Michael, can you tell us about what individuals out there can do if they're currently struggling with some of the issues that we've talked about?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've been so open on social media that I'll get calls from people like in your marketplace. Even when I'm in Massachusetts, I'll get a call from Nebraska or California and they'll say, I'm on heroin and I'm scared and I don't know how to stop and can you help me? And I'm flattered that somebody I don't even know will reach out. But the reason they're reaching out is because they know my story and they know that I made a mess and they know that I won't judge them poorly. And that stigma and the judgment still rules the day. And in your local community, it starts in the family. And, you know, if a 20-year-old who's off at college starts using heroin, is there an open door policy with the parents that that person could come forward and say, I'm in trouble, I need some help? And unfortunately, you know, judgment and stigma still exists, and there's very few mm-hmm. people who feel comfortable telling someone in their own, you know, family or neighborhood orbit. And until we start, you know, making an effort to substitute, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you're on heroin, I thought you raised you better than that, substitute those words to, I love you, I'm proud of you for coming forward, and I don't know what we do, but we're going to do it together. If we can substitute words, it can make a significant dent in the number.
What kind of resources would you recommend individuals utilize, Michael, for those out there that may have a loved one that they feel is struggling with some of these things we've talked about?
Well, I think, you know, confronting, you know, the same thing with suicide prevention, one of the most important things to do is, if you suspect, is to confront in a loving way, not fearful of asking the question.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, having that as a starting point. There's also, you know, new harm reduction strategies that are being employed in each community. You know, it's controversial, you know, needle exchange. Narcan has become super important, and there's actually a Narcan shortage out there now. Mm. If you added the people who had died, essentially, and were resuscitated with Narcan, you'd come much closer to that $500,000 death COVID number. So I think, you know, the resources, it starts with the person telling one other person. That's where it starts. Keep it simple. Try to get that individual to share with one other person that they're struggling so that they come out of isolation. And then it comes to the community resources that may be available in your particular area, you know, and that's been a problem. Rehabs and all that sort of stuff are experiencing shortages. But, I think that's where it starts, is at the micro level. You achieve great things by doing little things.
Michael, anything else you'd like to add today, sir?
No, I just appreciate, I love you guys for having this subject on, because, you know, the COVID, with COVID, you know, the nightly news would always scroll through the faces of the people who died that day from COVID and the families. If we ever got to the point where we could scroll through the faces of the people who died of addiction, I think the attention would be out there, and that's sorely mm-hmm. needed at this point. And so doing what you're doing is amazing, so thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael. We appreciate you sharing a little bit of your story with us and helping us spread the good news and the fact that people can recover from this just as you did.
Absolutely. It can be a really amazing life. So.